Paseo family, welcome. We are starting week one of our generosity practice for our growth groups, and we're excited to talk about Matthew chapter 6 and this first topic, which is it's more blessed to give than to receive. Shelton, and you and I were talking just before we started recording here, and this past Sunday on Easter, you were teaching about Jesus and how his words are not really life hacks. We shouldn't think of them as this is how you can get ahead in life, but they're really something far greater than that, more like a law of nature. How would you summarize that?
Yeah, I think that's well put. I think, like, you even talk to people that don't believe that Jesus is God, and they value Jesus's life teachings. And generosity might be one of those things that even unbelievers would say, oh, this is good. Jesus teaches us to be generous. And so as believers, we come to the teachings of Christ not from a sense of, hey, these are valuable life lessons. We should probably try to implement one or two of these, right? Like, because we believe, like Thomas, that Jesus is God. Like, all things were made through him and by him. So when he is teaching on generosity or any other topic, he's not saying here are valuable life lessons. He is saying here is how life is designed to be lived, right? So it's more blessed to give than to receive. He is saying you were made to be a generous being because you were made in the image of a generous God, right? And so as we approach this throughout the entire series, I just want to continue to push us that we believe what Jesus has to say is the very essence of what life is. And so let us not approach something like what he has to say, generosity, as though it's up for debate, or maybe there are parts of this we might want to implement into our life. But let us come humbly and say, shape us into the type of people you'd have us be. And with that mindset, there's no doubt that he would have us be generous people. Like, he is generous, like Abba Father is generous. And so, we start here with this. It's more blessed to give and receive. And our passage comes right out of the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 6.
Yeah, we're going to read a few verses from Matthew 6. I'm excited about this practice, and I'm fascinated by this topic of generosity, I think for two reasons. Yeah. One is what you just shared, which is that generosity is rooted in the character of God and the nature of the gospel. So, like you said, it's not just good advice that, hey, if you want to be happier, be a little more generous. No, if you want to be more like God, then we need to become more generous people because that's who he is. And if we want our lives to be reshaped by the gospel, then generosity is at the heart of that, because the gospel itself is an expression, maybe the ultimate expression of God's generosity. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, I'm excited about that. On the other hand, I think it's so counterintuitive to the world that we live in. This generosity practice is going to be so counterintuitive to the world that we live in. And if I'm honest with myself, my own human nature, my own instincts run counter to this generosity practice. So we're going to see that even today as we look at this passage from Matthew 6. So do you want to read it, or I've got it pulled up?
Yeah, I got it right here.
All right.
Yeah, so we're in Matthew 6, 19 through 24. So Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money."
So what are some of your initial thoughts, even as we read through that passage here in real time? What stands out to you?
I mean, that last phrase, even as I'm reading it there, if you would say, what is the other master that we are tempted to serve? If you just ask that question without reading this text, you know, we kind of have this picture sometimes of like the devil is the opposite of God, and God's not worried about that at all, and he has him defeated. And, or maybe we think self as the opposite. It's fascinating to me that the other master that Jesus says that we are prone to worship instead of God, and Jesus spoke in a time when lots of other gods were being worshipped in the Greek world, like in the Roman world. There were lots of other gods that you cannot serve, you know, Zeus and God. You cannot serve, you know, Aphrodite and God. He chose, because it goes across all cultures, across all time, you cannot worship money and God. And to man, that to me throws the importance of this topic of generosity up front and center. At the very core of it, it's about idolatry. Of running to the wrong thing as the source of life, which is a pretty gigantic thing, right?
It is. You know, I haven't really thought about this before, but what stands out to me, and it fits with what you were just sharing in verse 24 there, but really there are three contrasts that Jesus makes, and he sets them in stark relief, right? So there at the end, he says, you cannot serve God and money, riches, mammon, depending on what English version. Yeah. But he starts off by saying, do not store up treasures on earth, but instead store up treasures in heaven. So there's another, he's putting these two side by side and saying, have a preference for this one. And then he talks about the eye. And there again, there are two options. If your eye is healthy, then you're going to be full of light. If it's unhealthy, then you're going to be walking in darkness. So again, there's this contrast. And of course, these are all connected together. Like weaving throughout this is what we value, how we handle this material world that we live in.
Yeah, but if you kind of have, to your point, that if you have the two sides of the ledger, on the one side, treasures on earth, eye that is unhealthy, worshiping money, right? And your heart will be there. Mm-hmm. Or on the other side, treasures in heaven, eye that is healthy, worshiping God, your heart will be there.
So let's talk about this healthy eye. Yeah. Again, we were talking about this briefly before we started recording. And those who are going through growth groups and working through the Practicing the Way material, they talk about abundance mindset, scarcity mindset. And for sure, that could be part of how we understand this particular passage. But do you have any other thoughts about what it means to have a healthy eye versus an unhealthy eye?
Well, and I would say that the reason that the Practicing the Way folks take it there is really not because of just this passage alone, but what comes right after it in the passage where, hey, your father knows you have these needs, right? And he takes care of the birds in the air and the flowers of the field. He can take care of you. And that, so this idea of trust in the sovereignty and goodness of your father, to seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So this idea of there is an abundance, God has an abundance, he can care for you, that certainly is part of this. And so I would say that where the Practicing the Way folks take that is there. But that's not necessarily where I run to in this idea of good eye, bad eye, because of this kind of two sides of ledger. To me, it's more of what are you setting your eye upon?
Right.
Right? And so if what you find treasurable, you'll set your eye upon that, and you will invest yourself and your time. So I think your eye is more than just what you're looking at, but I think it is that. It's something as simple as and then your heart will follow after all of that, right? So your worship and the whole of who you are follows what you are treasuring and what you're setting your eye on, and it's coming together with all that. And so I think it's something as literal as what I spend my time thinking about, researching, looking at on my phone, entertainment-wise, what advertisement versus, you know, I think of other passage, it says that when we... it's when we with unveiled faces behold the glory of God that we're transformed into his likeness. And so that talks about a good eye. Or you see passages that talk about set your heart and mind on things above and not on things below. And so I think there's a good eye, bad eye, good treasure, bad treasure, the right God, fallen God. When you think of, am I setting my things and my thoughts and my mind, my perspectives on the goodness of God and his kingdom, or am I setting it on lower things, right? Am I investing myself, am I treasuring lower things. That's kind of how I've always taken the good eye, bad eye,
right,
in all of that. And if you'll trust your Father, hey, he'll take care of you here on earth, is how I understand that next passage. So seek first his kingdom,
right,
and he'll take care of it. He knows you have needs here on earth.
Yeah.
But don't seek the needs in here on earth and forsake the Father, because then you get neither.
I think this is one thing I appreciated about the material this week from Practicing the Way, is it really does get into trusting God in the present, but also valuing the eternal over this present temporal world. And we see Jesus emphasizing this. And isn't it interesting that this has been, you know, you talked about the devil being the enemy, and yet here Jesus is pointing us towards this great enemy of wealth or riches. But it takes me back to the garden, the story where, now the serpent is there, the devil is there, but what is he drawing their attention to? Well, it's this fruit.
Yeah.
And it actually says that when they saw that it was good and it was desirable, and you really could say that was the great trick, was to shift their gaze from God's goodness and trusting him and what he had told them was going to lead to abundant life, and putting their focus on this fruit. And somehow now this fruit was going to be the thing that helped them truly become like God and become wise and have this life at a better level. And here Jesus, I think in the Sermon on the Mount, is taking us right back and saying, hey, we still face that same battle that our original father and mother faced.
Yeah.
And will we trust God?
You know,
will we have a healthy eye?
Yeah. I think totally that is seeking first the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of this world.
Yeah.
Right. And he is just, same chapter, he's just got through preaching to pray, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. And so he's priming us to think as disciples that we want to live out heaven's way in a fallen world. And so heaven's way is to know that God owns everything.
Right.
And he loves me. He's for me. Mm-hmm. And God is a generous God. And it's more blessed to give than to receive, because it's living like God instead of living like this earth. This earth is worried about what looks desirable. Let me get.
Right.
Kind of like what the father says to the older son in the prodigal son story. All that I have is yours. It's already yours. All things have been given. Like, stop living scared. Do you remember what the older brother says? You didn't kill a fattened calf for me. Look what I did. And the father's response is always interesting. All that I have is yours. You should be excited for this other person. It just hits at the core. I know that's a different passage, but to me, it's what is your eye set upon? We could be so centered in the love of God, celebrating it every week, and just be as selfish as we can be. Mm. In fact, the current gospels that are being preached in Western society are just that. It's a God loves you and he wants to give you more, 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 more. And you need to receive. And so you have folks praying for theirs, their breakthrough, all these things, as opposed to saying, hey, Jesus has already richly blessed us. We sit in the abundance of God's mercy and grace so that we can be conduits of that mercy and grace into this world, that we might live here on earth as it is in heaven. It's more blessed to give than receive is a flipping around of which kingdom way are we living in, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this good eye, bad eye is, how do you see the world? Do you see it through the kingdom eyes of God has everything, he loves people, he needs to pour out his love so that they see the kingdom of God? Or do you see it from the world's eyes, from the fallen world's eyes, this side of the ledger, you know, and you're treasuring yourself and the other things around you? It is an interesting dichotomy for sure, and how we live. Any takeaways from you from this passage?
Yeah, I'm glad you connected it to the verses following. Of course, we read 6, 19 through 24, but most of us are familiar with those verses that follow. So do not worry about this life, you know, what you shall wear, what you shall eat. And I really see in these verses 19 through 24, two things that will keep me from being generous. And so the first really has to do with not trusting God. So if I don't trust God to take care of my earthly needs, if I don't really understand that he's going to make sure that I have food, I have clothing, I have shelter, if I'm not able to trust him, then of course I'm going to constantly be trying to accumulate and save up for a rainy day and make sure that I take care of myself. So it's going to work against my ability to freely give, to be generous. But the second trap, I guess, that can prevent me from being generous is to have just a limited mindset for this earth. I'm storing up treasures in this earth. And I think of it almost like if I think that I have to experience all that is good that can be experienced, I've got to squeeze it into this life. If I don't understand that there's a whole nother age to come and I can store up treasures for this age to come and I don't have to have it all now in this life, then that frees me up to be generous in this life. Yeah. Because even if I don't see the return in this life, even if I'm generous and I just give it away and I'm poorer in this life, Jesus says, rejoice. You're storing up treasure in heaven. Yeah. You're going to come out ahead. Yeah. You know, if we walk in the way of God and walk in generosity, you're going to come out ahead. So you had anything to say on that before I shift gears?
You know, there's the age old, you know, preacher story about the tightrope walker, you know, and what faith is. Have you know that one?
As a non-preacher,
come on.
I don't know, man.
I guarantee you, folks. maybe. There's a tightrope walker, and he says, how many of you believe that I can walk across the tightrope?
I have heard this one, yes.
You know, and everybody's like, I believe that.
And he says,
great. How many of you are willing to get on my shoulders? And as I walk, nobody's willing to do that.
No one really believes.
They don't really believe. Like, right. It's good for you. I think money is one of the biggest ways that we can. Do you actually believe that? Do you believe that there's a kingdom to come? Do you believe that God can provide? And money is one of the great indicators of how much you trust God.
Yeah.
And because there are opportunities to give all around us, right? Both in how if we're unwise with what he's given us and we're frivolous and we're just buying material things, we show so much about our... because there's so many other things around us. And we haven't gotten into materialism. That's into weeks to come.
Yeah.
But for now, I think it's worth saying, let's end where Jesus ends there of, you can't serve both God and money. Yes. And so what you do with money is one of the greatest indicators of your worship.
And you sort of made that transition for us, because the last thing that I wanted to touch on in this particular conversation is this idea that your heart follows your treasure.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're saying is that, hey, when we put our money where our mouth is, to coin a phrase, then that's how we know that we truly believe it. But what's more is that Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And so when we invest in something, we begin to care more about it. So this thing kind of feeds on itself, that if I develop a kingdom mindset, that's going to help me be more faithful with the resources God gives me. But when I invest those resources, that moves my heart to be more in line with God's kingdom, God's nature, and the gospel itself. So I hope folks stick with us, and that if you're not part of a growth group, even if you missed the first week, jump in. We've got 3 more weeks on the generosity practice. We'd love to have you learning alongside us as we practice the way of Jesus together. Any final thoughts, Shelton?
I'll just capitalize quickly on what you were just talking about, because I thought you said this off screen very well. Like and we're not just talking about Episeo. Give to San Diego Rescue Mission and watch how you suddenly start thinking about the homeless differently. Mm-hmm. Pick a missionary and give a large amount of money to a missionary. Mm-hmm. And watch how your heart, you'll start praying for those people more and that country more. Like, your heart follows your money. I think it's a symbiotic relationship. You know, they kind of go both in hand, which is what Jesus is saying. But it is interesting is sometimes if we recognize that our heart is material, one of the best things we can do for our heart is to give away resources and say, I'm not going to feed the materialism, I'm going to give it. And watch how your heart becomes more selfless in that way as well. So there's a... giving is better than receiving element there, because it's a leading of your heart in a way. That's neat.
Yeah, to be able to do something with my material wealth that helps change me on the inside it's a blessing.
Yeah, so. For sure.
All right, folks. Well, we'll be back each week in the coming weeks of this generosity practice, and looking forward to learning together what the Lord has to teach us.
Yeah. Be blessed.